Some people are like unpaid therapy. They come, they shine, they make us smile, and they never ask for anything in return. Those are the important people. Get a little food for thought here to start off with today. I had a handout for a change, handout early at the beginning of this lesson. This handout, it's the old disc. It's been around for a long time. I've seen it over the years. Different things I've been associated with. They do retreats with these big boards, serving on a 20 or 30 member board. And they'll go over this thing, usually have a psychologist or psychiatrist come in and use that to go over. And it's all about us trying to help understand other people around us, okay, is what it's all about. Is it 100%? No. But it's a personality aspect to try to help understand. And we may get to that today, but a good chance we'll talk more about that next week, but you'll have it and you can kind of be looking at it ahead of time. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is gifts and how we use those gifts, how we understand each other so we can help each other be better Christians. After Jesus built zeal within his disciples, he wanted them to use it in activities that are eternally important and spiritually constructive. And you'll find that over in Matthew 28:19-20. Okay? So he built that zeal within his disciples, and then he wanted for them to use it in activities that are eternally important, spiritually constructive. So he tried to teach them so that they will go out and teach others and help them. God designs each person. Every one of us is designed by God with unique talents. We all have certain talents. You see it. I'm going to use Marcus for. Marcus, when he was young, he liked to draw, and he did some stuff. We have stuff at the house. Some of you have seen it. But I think his best work was when he did this. I think it's called pen and ink. It's just he takes a pen or white sheet of paper, and he starts drawing when he gets through. So it's just a basic black and white, but it's the detail in it that always got me. There's no way I could do that. I mean, I just not that way. But some people have that type of talent, and they use that talent. And there are a lot of people that have that. Anybody ever been in a town sometime or see an advertisement about this, what do they call it, the starving artist type deal? And you go and they'll have a whole city block of all these different artists. I have their paintings all out and so forth, trying to sell them and everything. And all of a sudden you realize those of you been on cruise ships, usually down in one of the levels, they'll have all this artwork, some of it sculpture stuff, some of it's painting. Of course, most of it has some nice price tags on it, but they're trying to sell that type of artwork. And some of it is quite remarkable on that. But again, that is a great talent. Now, we think about that as a talent, but there's a lot of other talents, okay? There's the talent of, Nate, put your hand out here. There's the talent of just touch. That's a talent, touch, okay? And I'm kind of working on a lesson about that here, hopefully before Brandon takes off with us on this Wednesday class, but about touch, you know? Some people have a touch about them. Other people, they don't want to be touched, okay? don't want to be touched at all. And it's just those differences. I have run across this through the office with the touch aspect, with spouses. One spouse likes to be touched. The other spouse does not like to be touched and does not like touching. And that creates a little bit of a conflict sometimes. And I've had to kind of talk to the spouse that didn't touch. I said, oh, you have to hold her hand every once in a while. You know, just do that. You know, it means a lot. So there's a lot of different little talents like that. But then there's that talent of knowing what to say when a brother or sister is in a grieving aspect. They've lost a loved one. Some people really have a talent of going to that person and talking to them and helping them have a peace about things, whereas another person needs to stay away from them. Okay, so because they do not have that talent and can really upset a person during those times. So God designs each of us with those unique talents, and He encourages all of us. You know, He encourages all of us to use our skills, to use our talents for the benefit of the entire body of Christ, okay? To help build each of us up so we're all stronger. And we can read about some of that over in Romans 12, 3 through 8, and 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 3. That may be wrong. 2 through 3. So check. You can check on those, on that. When you discover the good works that are in alignment with your abilities and personality, you are far more productive, okay? We all are more productive if we hone in on things that we like anyhow. It's down your alley about stuff. And we need to capitalize on that and work on it, you know? Is what we're all talking about. I've talked about, hit on some of this, but we're going to hit a lot more on some of this stuff. We're going to think about here's four questions let's think about to find the good deeds that will suit you best. What actions are required of me? To do a good deed, what actions are required? You can't just sit by and do nothing. You have to be, it's an action type aspect. You got to go do, say, help, whatever it may be. What actions bring me the greatest return? Now, I'm saying return because when you go help somebody in whatever way, you want to feel good helping somebody, okay, at the same time, because that's going to encourage you to go help others. So it's a reciprocal type situation there. What actions are the most rewarding to me? Okay. Again, that falls on that same thought there. If you go and help somebody, you're going to get the reward that you did help them, and that same aspect will build you up to make you stronger in the Lord. What actions are directly related to my personality? Okay. Everybody in here has a different personality. That's a unique aspect for everybody. And when you do certain deeds and so forth, helping people, what is going to be best for your, is related to your personality. Lately, you've heard the words introvert, extrovert. Introverts have to work a little harder on some things. Extroverts, it kind of seems, comes natural to walk up to a stranger and start talking to them, that type of stuff. I saw a commercial the other night, first one I've seen. It's the guy that he's counseling people on not to be like your parents. Yeah, y'all know that commercial? He did one the other night. It was like at a gas station. And I can't remember, I think it was the guy. All of a sudden, he's over here talking to somebody at another pump. And I looked at Margie and said, oh no, he's talking about me. Because I'm bad about that. Because sometimes we get gas, pumping gas. And there's somebody on the other side, you know. I just make comment, hey, I like your wheels, you know. And that starts a conversation. If they're an extrovert too, hey, we start talking. I finally get in the vehicle, and Margie says, who's your new friend? I don't know their name. They don't know my name. But we had a pretty good little conversation going, you know. So if I see an out-of-state license plate, I've done that. Notice the plate. And I said, hey, I see you're from out of state. I'm going to welcome you to Texas. And so far, every time I've been told, you are the only person in Texas that's told me that. Is that bad for us Texans? I don't know, but just one of those type of things. So that's just me on that type of stuff. But that's what, you know, everybody has that different personality. Introverts have to work a little harder. It's harder for them to walk up to a stranger and talk to them cold turkey. There's no doubt about it. But guess what? They can overcome that. They have to work at it, though. Okay? God requires some basic actions. It takes action to go talk to someone. You think somebody's having a problem or a type of thing. Let's say this. You drive by somebody's house, and you look over, and boy, their yard is just really grown up. Well, that should send a message to you. There's something wrong. They got to get the mower fixed. They've been really sick. They've been really out of town for a while. Something's not right, because you know that normally their yard is very well kept. Do you just forget it? Don't explore that? Or do you explore it and find out what's going on? Hopefully we all would explore that, because we may have a brother or sister that's, you know, really being laid up in bed, you know. And they just not telling anybody what's going on, and their yard just keeps growing up. Would be a great thing. If you can't do it, call somebody else. You may have a trailer, somebody else has a mower. Say, hey, so-and-so's yard needs to be mowed. I'll come pick your mower up, and we'll go over and I'll weed eat while you do some mowing. And just do it, okay? There's things like that we all can do that person will greatly appreciate it, especially if they're having some problems. Don't do like I've known some do. Go to that person's yard, they're out of town, and mow their initials in that tall grass. I haven't done it, but over in Pruitt and Lobert years ago, the preacher Bobby K. Thompson and Harold Crawford, Bobby K. did that to Harold Crawford, and they were out of town. And put the mower down extra low. So anyhow, so even when he mowed it, it still looked that way when Harold got back in town. But, you know, they were just at each other like that, doing little pranks on each other. So no, don't do that though, okay? So it requires actions from everyone. Before you specialize, every saint must begin with one major thing. True worship. You need to honor God's greatness with zeal. If you're not attending, you're not worshiping God, you're not edifying each other, the saints, that's one problem you already have on trying to use your talents and use your zeal, because you're not there to start off with, to find out what's going on. You can look at Psalms 71, 17 through 18, and 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. Those of you take any notes, one of those know those. Okay, Psalm 71, 17 through 18. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. The next thing you need to be thinking about is your evangelism. God loves for His people, all of us, to tell His message and good news. We all need to be doing that. Total strangers, you need to be trying to do that. You need to promote pure Christianity with zeal. Be happy, okay? Be happy. You know, it's not this deal, you know, you're talking with someone at work or someone at a restaurant or wherever you meet a person and you're talking, and you don't say, well, you know, if you want to, you could come to church with us. And what kind of zeal is that? You know, you got to be kind of perky about it. You know, be peppy about it. You know, say, hey, when you come, well, where you go? Well, I go to the Church of Christ. Oh, you Church of Christ don't use the piano. Oh, but you ought to hear the singing. You know, just counterbalance it. Ought to hear the singing. Well, I got two sisters looking at each other now. What was that look about? We got great singing. Okay, we got to think about that. We got great singing. And I know we have great singing because I have been at places traveling and at the deer camp. And what's that little town, Comfort, at the church there? Oh, they struggle with their singing. When I go, or have in the past, we don't have that camp anymore, but the times I went, the song leader, every time he'd come up and say, hey, won't you lead singing for us? You know, he just didn't understand. But when he got up and led singing, oh, you know, it made me wonder if I couldn't at least try, but I never did try there. But what I'm getting at, we got to do it with zeal. Got to show our zealousness. You need to exercise pure and undefiled religion by relieving the distressed, walking in righteousness, and opposing sin. Opposing sin. Okay? What's the big thing? Oh, those who are writing down, Sister Jeanette, James 1:27. James 1:27. Galatians 5:18-26. And Ephesians 5:11. Galatians. And then Ephesians is 5:11. And that's going to be most of the verses for a while now. The four things. What actions are required of me? What actions bring me the greatest return? What actions are the most rewarding to me? You got that third one? Okay. And then what actions are directly related to my personality? The last one is the, that's a powerful one right there, because okay. We all have unique responsibilities based on the roles that you fill. And the roles could be your job. We all have unique jobs. How many people like their job? Raise your hand. Okay, we got some hands here. We got a couple, they like their job being retired, huh? Okay, we got some of those too going here. That's okay. But I run across people all the time that hate their job. They'll tell me. I say, man, why are you so stressed? Oh, I just have to make myself get up and go to work. I said, why are you doing it? Well, because I make a living, and I'm so scared to try to go to someplace else that they may be the same way. And I'd hate that job. So why leave one job and may go to another one and hate it? And I hear those excuses all the time about things. Some of them hate their job, but they love the money they make. So they stick it out for the money. So there's all kind of things on that. But that wears on persons, on people. That wears on Christians. If you're a Christian and you're in that work environment, that wears you down. And when it starts wearing you down, you start losing your zeal. You have to be careful on that. If you're working a job that you like doing, it's easy to have your zeal and stay motivated, stay on top of things, and always think in a positive way instead of negative. And you're not always constantly looking at the clock. Oh, no, it's only 3 o'clock. It feels like it ought to be 8 o'clock tonight. You know, those type of things. So there's all those type of things that's going on. It's important to know and obey God's commands for the husbands, for the wives, for kids, for the employees, for employers, widows, and the wealthy. Now, why did I throw wealthy in there? Why would I throw that in there? Okay? Think about that. It's important to know and obey God's commands. And I threw in wealthy also. Why is that? John. Right. Right. And that's the reason why I threw that in, because a wealthy person in the church, obey the gospel, they can get to heaven. They're being watched. They can be a great influence, okay, just like John brought out, because a lot of times they're in a job situation, on up into a company, and a lot of employees are watching how they live their lives. But they got to give away more. They have been blessed with more. They can turn around and give away more, okay? And give back to the Lord more. And so many do not. It is mind-boggling to me, and I know maybe y'all too, some of these people, they do not. You know, here they are, 60 years old, They got millions of dollars. They don't have to work, but they're still planning. There's two or three guys I know in Rotary they are still going and blasting away trying to gain more millions before they die. And they can't take it away with them. You know, they're probably trying to leave it for their families, but they got so much that they could give everybody $1 million right now and never be heard about it. But I don't hear them talk so much about, you know, church, okay? The two I'm thinking about are big Baptist people, but, you know, they go Sunday morning and that's it. So there's a lot of problems on that type of situation. So wealthy is another aspect we've got to be real careful about. Just staying busy doesn't guarantee productivity. How many of you got a Saturday, let's say, you're off work, and you by the end of the day, you say, oh, man, I'm tired. And you get thinking back, What did I accomplish today? Well, I went and did this little errand, I did that errand. I went and spent 2 hours at Lowe's looking for a certain type of bolt that I never did find. I got back home and I found it in my garage. You know, things like that. But by the end of the day, you really haven't accomplished that much that you can say I've accomplished anything. But you were busy all day. But productivity was on the low side, okay? So that's something we have to be kind of watch out for. Jesus devoted his time to activities he knew would bear good fruit. He could have done many things, but he prioritized time for his preaching, his training of the disciples, and prayer. The key activities increased the effectiveness of everything else he did. But what else did Christ do? You may know it, John. What else did he do besides these type of things? Well, it's related to that. He rested. He did a lot of prayer time. Okay? He went off by himself and did prayer. Okay? How many times do we do that? Go in the closet and pray. Now, I'm going to tell off myself, if I can. Margie doesn't even know this. Usually on Wednesdays when I get out of Rotary, I go to the cemetery. And I sit out there at the cemetery, and where Mary and Mark are, and I pray. It's just something I do. I can't do it every Wednesday. Sometimes I miss Rotary. You got something going on. That today was one of those days. But everybody needs to do that prayer time. Christ did also. You got to take time to rest. If you don't rest, you get so tired you can't really even think straight. That happens to all of us at times. Okay, John, do you have something else? Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great example. When I did the ladies' class, we had a whole lesson about that. And he became friends with them because where they were situated, where their house was in a route where he would go out at times to these other places and come back. So that's how they became such good friends. He knew their home was open to them at all times, and the reason why they became such good friends on that. So very, very good. He could have done many things, but he prioritized the time for preaching and training his disciples in prayer. Like Jesus, you need to devote the majority of your time to the activities that brings the greatest return. I'll tell you one activity, for ladies especially, is having people in your home. You'll never understand or realize how much that means to the visitors that come into your home. Okay, group meeting, a Saturday night, say, hey, call two or three couples, come over, and we're just gonna have hot dogs, and I've got a new game. We'll all try to learn this new game together or something. Just things like that. Because when you're together like that, guess what happens? You learn things about other people you did not know before, okay? That they've been kind of quiet about. But you get in that smaller setting, and people just open up. It's easy to do, okay? And ladies, your house does not have to be to the point you can eat off the floor, or you walk through with a white glove and there's no dust on it. Everybody's house is okay. And I'll tell you, as an elder, I've been places and visited people because they had to be visited, and they would not let us in their house because their house wasn't just so-so, okay? We had to go, they came out and sat in the vehicle with us and talked. Those type of situations. Okay? You don't have to have your house that clean, is what I'm getting at. So, not a pet peeve of mine, but I've just, I got just enough time to tell you the story. We went at our office, after we had got in there, we put up with it because it took us so much to try to get into the office when we moved this way back. It had old green shag carpet in there because it was built as a house and a realtor used it until we bought it from the realtor. And we put up with that for a while. So I finally got a carpet guys come in and they timed it. And they came in on a Thursday and they changed the carpet out. Tom said, you got to do this all at one time for me. And because I got to be up going again on Friday. They didn't quite finish, so I had to go up there early on Friday morning and while they finished before we started seeing patients. How many people do you think realize that we changed carpet? Anybody want to venture a guess?
Zero.
Close to zero. If I remember correctly, there was three. Because I started going after I didn't have anybody say a thing. People would say, man, Doc, I saw you painted the walls. And that boy, that paint smell is strong. What is that glue from that carpet? It's what it was. It's what, it just would knock you out for about a week when they came in there. In fact, I had some people got severe headaches and had to leave because of the glue smell. But nobody except for three people. Well, I asked, well, how do you like the changes? That's what I would do. How do you like the changes? And they said, oh, it was always paint. I didn't paint anything, okay? We didn't paint anything. It was just change the carpet. Three people said, oh, yeah, I noticed that you changed carpet. I should have told you about it. I like it. It's amazing. Visibly, we don't walk into a place and really notice that much. Police officers know that when people are starting to identify something at a scene. They were a witness, saw a robbery, saw the guy come in, go out, and you get five witnesses and all five will give a different description of the person. We're terrible about that. So I'll kind of finish on that note. So what I'm saying, you don't have to worry about how your house is because nobody's paying attention, okay? We'll crank up there. Next week we'll start on that, and then we're going to start talking about the disc here, okay? Thank y'all.